Columbia, the Sony Pictures Entertainment Company. Glimpses of a dimly lit mural depicting Lady Justice. Columbia Pictures presents an Irwin Winkler production. A film by Brian Gibson. Demi Moore. Alec Baldwin. A young boy is awoken by an argument. It's the middle of the night. Getting out of bed, he crosses the upstairs landing of a house to an open door. In slow motion, running for his life, the boy scampers back along the landing and heads downstairs.
No! No!
The dark figure of a man strides along the landing towards the stairs. He's carrying a gun.
Help me! Help me!
Looking over his shoulder and glimpsing the shadowy figure looming down on him, the boy trips on the body of a man and falls to the floor. As he cowers in the doorway, the man slowly descends the staircase and raises his gun. The killer's eyes, devoid of emotion. The juror.
Okay, people. Now, please take your time in answering this question. I want you to take a good look at Mr. Bufano, the man seated in front of you there. And tell me if you've ever seen him before.
No, sir, I haven't.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Would you pull the mic a little closer, please?
No, sir, I haven't.
On TV, in the newspapers?
No, sir.
Do you read newspapers, ma'am?
When I have the time.
How often is that?
Never. I am a single mother, Your Honor, and I am trying to be a sculptor. I have, just a job all day, and when I get home, I take care of my son. I feel stupid saying that I don't keep up with the news, but, that's just how it is. I don't. I don't have time.
Ma'am, are you saying you've heard nothing about this case?
Well, no, I have heard something. When I told my son that I might be picked for jury duty, he said, hey, maybe you'll get picked for that big mafia case. And I said, what big mafia case? And he said, you know, Louis Bufano, he's going to be tried for popping those guys. And he said, the popping is when you kill somebody. I said, okay, I've got that. But who's Louis Bufano? And he said, Mom, come on, he's the big spaghetti-o.
Smiling, Bufano nods to a man sitting in the gallery.
Enough! Well, ma'am, what I want you to understand is that this may be a lengthy trial and that you would be sequestered during deliberations. So if you tell me that it would prove a grave hardship for you to serve on this jury, I'll excuse you.
Well, then I think I could get someone to take care of my son for when I'm sequestered.
So you would like to serve?
Yes, I would. Yes.
Based on the book by George Dawes Green. Screenplay by Ted Daly. Directed by Brian Gibson. The woman from the courtroom's driving along in a 4x4, unaware that she's being followed by the man from the courtroom gallery.
Hey, Eddie. That license, it's registered under the name of Annie Laird, 48 Seminary Lane, Barrow, New York.
Thanks, Joey. Take care of yourself.
Hey, guess what? You're a star today.
That's bull. I was zero kid today.
Why?
Do you know where Jesse is on Dragon Rider? He got to the fifth dome last night, man. I can't believe it. I can't get to the second dome without some stupid-ass troll slave clobbering me.
Well, maybe Nintendo's not your forte.
Mom, it's not Nintendo. It's Sega.
Maybe you should focus on something else.
like your homework. Anyway, you were a star today, the star of County Court. I told him my son called Louis Bufano the Big Spaghetti Out, and he got a big laugh.
Louis, you're on that case?
Well, that's the one if they take me.
All right, she just picked up a kid at a babysitter's or something, and we're going west on Ratner, away from her house.
Well, thank you, Reddy. Hey, stay with her. I'm gonna check out her place.
Yeah, right.
You know, it wasn't just the old godfather that got killed. They killed his grandson, too. Made me start thinking about you and, I don't know, I'm always talking to you about responsibility, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so it wasn't such a good idea. But it is a little bit exciting. I need a little excitement.
Annie turns into a church car park. Following closely behind, Eddie stays on the road.
Eddie, what's going on?
All right, I don't know what the fuck you are. Looks like some kind of fucking whacked out church or something. Maybe she's some kind of religious freak. Look, Vince, I think we ought to let this one go. I mean, this whole thing, it just don't smell right to me.
Eddie, you're fussing. She's at work, relax.
Yeah, right. Whatever.
You know, anything the reporter dispatched about the trial, anything at all, you're going to have to cut it out so I don't see it.
Mom, you don't read the papers. Use it to wrap stuff.
Whatever, just do it. And you know, when the jury deliberates, I'll have to be sequestered, which means I'll have to stay in a motel. And you'll have to stay with Mrs. Pilardi.
For how long?
I don't know, a week, maybe two, however long it takes.
Mom, tell me you're kidding.
I tell you, I'm not kidding.
Well, why? I mean, come on, you just go in, you come back out, and you say guilty.
Oliver.
What? Oliver. Say, fry the sucker. Come on. How long does it take?
I don't know, but do you think you can shut up?
6 seconds?
Oliver.
The man keeping contact with Eddie through a headset opens the front door to Annie's converted barn and steps inside. He's confronted by a Christian shrine. The man's face is concealed by shadow. Clocking a bicycle and a lacrosse stick, he removes a page from a notepad that's pinned to a drawer and runs a handheld scanner over a long list of phone numbers. Next, he sticks a listening device to the underside of a table. At her place of work, Annie's transcribing a tape recording.
And in the letter, sincerely, John Slivey, Devotional Services Incorporated, Books for the Soul.
Oliver? Math. Now.
Oliver puts down his video game. At the house, the intruder uses an electronic screwdriver to reattach a phone line wall socket. Moving through the house, he comes across a painted wooden box on legs with a curtain hanging underneath it. Attached to the box is a torn page from a magazine bearing the title, Cardinal Donnelly Asserts God is Male. Kneeling down, the man opens the curtain and looks up into the box.
Mom, I've been thinking about this.
All right, she's walking towards the car with her kid.
Hey, Eddie, what do you think of her?
What do you mean, what do I think of her? I don't think nothing of her.
Sexy.
Come on, she's a fucking mommy.
Well, I think she's sexy and smart. This isn't your average mommy, Eddie.
I just think she's trouble.
Well, I think she's brilliant. She makes sculptures that you can't see, that you can only feel.
Yeah, you want to get out of there? She's coming your way.
Eddie drives after her. At the house, the intruder steps upstairs into a bedroom. Annie's 4x4 turns off the road.
All right, they just turned into the driveway. You better get the fuck out of there.
The intruder's scanning a photograph in a frame.
Come on, for Christ's sakes, get the fuck out of there. They're going in the front door. Go out the back. Vincent, what the fuck are you doing?
He's sitting on Annie's bed, scanning a photograph of Oliver.
All right, they're going in the front door. You gotta get out the back. Are you hearing me?
I don't want to hear your voice.
Come on.
Hungry.
He scans one of Annie.
Is there anything to eat around here?
Maybe a cockroach or two?
Mom, it's your duty. Feed me.
No, I'm sorry. I can't do it. I'm busy.
What?
Beating your butt at Dragon Rider!
You know what? Annie runs up one staircase, and Vincent casually steps down another.
Sausage.
Get out of my face. Sausage is good.
No, hi. Yes, I'd like to order a large pizza, please.
Betty's relieved to see Vincent step out the back door.
Hey, get
it. Okay.
Turn around. Right, go right, again.
Okay, go.
Dodge, you sucker.
Okay, you got
wait,
it.
He's not going hit him again. You wounded him. Don't let him get away.
Go.
Hit him again.
I got it.
Yeah, you
got it. I did it.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, you're getting hit.
Gonna get him. There we go. No. Oh, there's that fifth.
Chill
wait.
Out, Mom.
Okay.
Just
wait.
Relax.
Okay, right there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, don't get hit by the fifth.
Get him. You just,
like,
sit there.
Oh, Bert, you set me up because I don't play children.
Okay, I'm gonna get him. There we go.
You cannot run from the wrath of Mama.
Listening to Annie and Oliver through a set of headphones, Vincent prints off their family photos. Now it's daytime, and Annie crosses a street, entering a spacious art gallery.
Hey, Lenny.
Hey, Annie.
Is she here?
Yeah, she's coming right out.
Walking past several of her boxes on display, she notices a red sold sticker on the plaque next to them.
His name's Mark Cordell. He's, well, I don't know. He's very polite, but he can be very intimidating, you know what I mean? He knows his shit, Annie. He does Alice Acock, Christy Rupp. He does not like the big dick Marvel cowboys. Anyway, he collects for himself, but mostly for friends. And I mean big, big collectors, honey. Big, big shit.
Like,
Sato Makamoto. B.D. Karamura.
My stuff's gonna go to Japan?
I don't know. Just some of the names he mentioned.
Wait a minute. You didn't ask
Of course I asked. He gave me vague.
And that was good enough for you?
Well, that and a check. For $24,000, half of which is yours.
God, do I need this.
A man with short, dark hair is waiting outside.
Annie Laird? I thought it might be you. Inez said you might drop by, so I took a chance. I bought some of your pieces. I'm Mark Cordell.
Oh, hi. Hey, I've got a check in my bag. Thank you.
Well, I didn't pay you nearly what they're worth.
Oh, no, please. How do you know me? I mean, have we met before?
Inez showed me your picture in the catalog.
Oh, God. Well, you know, she said that my pieces were going to go to Japan. Is that true?
Yeah, that's likely.
So does that mean that's it? I'm not going to see him again?
No, not necessarily, no. Do you have some time to talk this over? Maybe have some lunch?
Oh, now. You know, I'm supposed to be upstate by 2 o'clock for jury duty.
Well, I wouldn't want to make you late for that.
Well, maybe just a quick bite.
So what was the first one?
Okay, the first one. Let me see.
Well?
The very first.
When my parents split up, I went to stay with my grandmother for a summer in Allentown, Pennsylvania, and I hated it. So I made this model of a wild meadow, and I would keep it under the bed. Oh, it had these bushes that I had thorns on it made out of staples, and there was a stream made out of tinfoil. And I would reach under the bed, you know, because I was afraid of the dark. And I would reach under and just touch it and dream I was there.
And that's how you got started.
Yeah. So what about you? Were you afraid of the dark?
Well, there wasn't really very much dark in my house. We had a lot of kids. I was the youngest. A real madhouse. Zoo. Anyway, you want to know where your pieces are going, yes?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know Japan?
Mm-hmm.
Well, contemporary art is a sort of currency there now because its value is so inconstant, it's so attractively pliant.
Wait a second, I'm lost. I'm not connecting the dots here.
None of that really matters. All that
matters is we need to start getting your pieces, try to record some six-figure sales, get you the right review in Art Forum, the proper niche at the Basel Art Fair, that sort of thing. But that's my job. Don't you worry about that.
Listen, Mr. Cordell,
yes.
I...
Call me Mark.
Okay, Mark.
May I?
Listen.
May I call you Annie?
Yeah, you know what? You can call me whatever the hell you want, but I am not interested in having my art used as some kind of currency.
Annie, what do you think I get out of this? You think I make money off of this? I don't. I don't need to. What I do for a living pays me very, very well.
Could I get
well.
You guys a...
No. Not now. I do this so that artists like you can go into your studio and work on your boxes and not worry whether or not your children are being fed. So that these idiots that control the art world, these insects, you don't have to bother with them. So you can just do your work.
Hey, you guys. Okay, what do you think?
Two gowns.
Woo!
Hey, forget about it. You're wearing the black one. You look sexy in it.
Juliet, will you stop it? I do not want to look sexy.
Oh,
I'm
too
not
bad.
Wearing the black one.
And promise me you won't be shy with this guy.
I'm not shy.
No?
No, I'm private.
No. You climb up.
I just don't babble to men, that's all.
Babble? Annie, this is not babble. This is an art. First you say something to puff up his little ego, and then with a sly little subtle stab, you puncture his balloon, and then you stroke his silly little ego again, and then you push him back, and you pull him in, and you push him back, and you pull him, and you push him, and you pull him until you've got him dizzy and staggering and falling at your feet.
Juliet.
Yeah.
When's the last time you slept?
You mean sleep? I just closing my eyes for a second while I'm doing a tracheotomy? I don't know, I slept for a couple of hours on Monday night.
Jesus, why aren't you at home in bed?
Oh, would you cut it out? I'm going to take the kids to a movie. This is a cinch. Annie.
What?
How could I not come? This thing today was the triumph of your life, girlfriend.
What?
You did it.
What did I do?
You sold three goddamn pieces.
You know what?
In Mark's car.
Lao Tzu says the returning is the movement of the Tao.
So are you a Taoist?
I don't know. Lao Tzu says that when the foolish man first hears of the Tao, he laughs out loud, which is certainly true in my case, I'm afraid. But I also find it very compelling. Become a valley. Stop fighting against that structure, against that fate. What have you, and everything will flow to you.
Annie smiles at him.
What do you think?
I think we need to take a left.
They roll up to her house. Later, inside, Annie's lighting candles as Mark steps over to her boxes.
Should I just,
Yeah, anyone, doesn't matter.
Just like the ones in the gallery, you just... stick your hand under and...
cop a feel, yep.
A note stuck to one of them.
The dream of giving notice.
Reaching through the curtain, he feels inside the box. Annie watches him intently.
What do you feel?
A keyboard. Computer keyboard and something rough on the keys. Is it sandpaper? And this is... what is this? This is wire. This is a cage. This is a bird cage. I'm caught in a bird cage. The door is open, but I can't quite squeeze through. And now I feel a breeze on my fingertips, just beyond my reach. How did you do that? And now a fluttering. This is a bird. This is amazing. This is also a little bit strange. I mean, reaching up underneath here and feeling your,
private stuff?
Private stuff. My God, Annie, it doesn't have to only be a dream. You can give notice. You can escape that hell. You can do nothing. but just make art for the rest of your life.
They gaze into each other's eyes. Eventually, Annie breaks into a smile.
Would you like to feel another one? There's a really good one right over there.
Tearing himself away, Mark walks over to another box.
This one?
Yeah, that one.
Well, I've already felt that one.
No, that one's the one. I just finished that one.
Well, I felt it yesterday.
Yesterday? I didn't even know you yesterday.
But I was here.
You're kidding, right?
He stares back blankly. Annie starts to look worried. She goes to get up.
Don't get up.
He steps towards her.
Annie, listen to me now. You're in danger, and your son is in danger.
Oliver, what do you mean? Where's my son?
He went with Jesse and Julia to the movies, didn't he? He's gonna be all right. Such an extraordinary child. Remember last night when the two of you were playing that video game upstairs and you started to panic and he said, chill out, Mamba. You remember that?
How do you know that?
Annie. When I heard the two of you together laughing, I swore to myself that I would do everything to make sure that he gets through this. Do you understand me, Annie? This is a very dangerous time for him. He could stray. He could commit some childish error, and we could lose him that quick. But you know what I think? I think he's going to be safe. I think he'll grow up, and he'll be healthy. And your friend Juliet, she'll be safe too. She'll be fine. Everyone you care about, they'll all be safe as churches. Do you hear what I'm saying? Annie, nod your head now. Do as I say.
She nods.
And as for you, all you have to do is wait. That's all. And then someone is going to contact you and tell you to say two words, two precisely. Do you know what they are? Have you guessed yet? No? Not guilty.
Annie stares at him tearfully. Driving Oliver home, Juliet reaches across and knocks his hat off his head.
Okay, here we go. Okay, Brad, see you later.
Okay, I'll see you later.
Get out of here.
What do you want me to do?
Protect him. Tell him that your date turned out to be a creep.
Mark steps out of sight.
Hey.
Hey, Laura.
Yeah. Oh, it's nice to see you.
What's the matter?
Nothing. Did you have a good time?
Yeah. So what's the matter?
Nothing. Things just didn't go great with that guy.
Oh. Is he still gonna buy your boxes?
Doesn't matter. Here.
Are you okay?
I'm fine, sweetie. Go. I'll be up in a minute, all right?
Just go on.
Heading upstairs, Oliver listens from his bedroom as Mark steps back over to Annie.
I still want to buy your boxes.
Oh, I don't want you to buy my boxes.
I insist. Annie, this will all be over before you know it.
Walking to the door, Mark looks up at Oliver before stepping out. Later, Annie's sitting on her bed, deliberating whether or not to answer the phone. A man's calling her from a public phone with Spanish writing above it.
What?
Annie. Hey, what's up?
Boone?
Yeah, it's me.
Oh, Jesus, how are you?
I'm good. How the hell are you? Hey, listen, don't go anywhere. I have to put money in the phone, okay? It's the 1950s here. Don't do anything. It's going to sound like we're disconnected. Are you there?
Yes, that's better.
So, I brought one of the kids down to the hospital today, and I just thought I'd grab a chance to call you. How long has it been? How long since we've talked?
Oh, I don't know. Probably the fall. Sometime in the fall.
No, has it been? I can't believe it's been that long. You know, I've been meaning to call, but, you know, I'm still 3 hours from the nearest phone. It's just not that easy. But how are you guys, anyway? How's Oliver?
Annie's noticed a loose wall socket.
We're okay.
God, I thought I lost you. Listen, Annie, book your airline early this time, okay? Because last time, you know what?
You know, I don't think we're going to be able to make it this summer. I'm sorry.
You're not going to make it.
Annie, you'll miss the fiesta. Why?
You know, just because we had a connection once about a million years ago doesn't mean that you can just keep popping up into my life whenever you want.
Annie, what's the matter?
I have someone here, and he doesn't like these phone calls, and frankly, neither do I.
Okay, sorry, I didn't know.
You okay?
Yeah, and I'll be great, when I can just get back to sleep.
She hangs up. As the sound of her distress pipes through speakers on stands, Mark's painstakingly painting eyebrows on a marionette.
Good night, Annie.
He blows on it and lifts up its strings.
I'm talking to the teacher, and he says to me, man don't want to come out of his house. Man don't want to be killed. So what? So we can dig a tunnel. You remember when he said it to me, Paulie?
I remember, Lou. I remember.
And I say to the teacher, I say, you want to dig a tunnel? Okay, dig a tunnel. Just kill that cocksucker.
Mr. DiCicco, that is you on the prosecution's tape, isn't
it?
It's you and Louis Bafano talking about the teacher?
Yeah.
So who is this teacher?
I don't know.
Do you know why he's called the teacher, Mr. DiCicco?
Because when you see him, school's out.
School's out. Meaning?
What the fuck you think it means? It means you're dead.
Mr. DiCicco, not here.
Sorry.
Did you have any direct dealings with this teacher?
No, nobody knows who he is. He just does special jobs for Louis.
But didn't you testify yesterday under direct that the teacher had suggested a strategy for negotiating with the Cali drug cartel?
Maybe,
and
but
it
he
was
didn't...
the teacher who arranged the link between Louis and the Calabrian Mafia, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Two alliances Salvatore Reggio bitterly opposed?
Yeah.
And then one day the teacher said he could dig a tunnel to the house of Salvatore Reggio for the purpose of killing him, right?
Right.
And Louis Bafano said, you want to dig a tunnel? Okay, dig a tunnel.
Yeah.
After all, the teacher is the boss. He can do what he wants, right?
Teacher, come on, give me a break. Teacher's not the boss.
Do you know of a single case in which his counsel wasn't followed, Mr. DiCicco?
I told you, Louis's the boss. Louis gives the orders.
You mean Louis seems to give the orders, right? Mr. DiCicco, do you know what a puppet is?
Objection, Your Honor.
Sustained.
I'm sorry, let me put it another way. This is a puppet. Maybe it seems to make its own decision.
Objection!
Sustained. Mr. Bozeman, this is not a circus.
I withdraw the puppet. No further questions.
The reporter will strike that remark from the record. The jury will disregard it. Counsel, take that puppet and put it away. I just sustained an objection to it.
A car pulls up in an alley, and a man with a moustache and glasses runs to a building, shielding himself from the rain with a newspaper. Entering a warehouse, he spies a small workshop, partitioned by fences, displaying Annie's photographs.
Anybody here?
Yeah,
the man eyes the speakers with a frown. Photographs of other jury members are displayed on a chain-link fence.
What is this?
Exploring further, the puzzled-looking man comes across three of Annie's boxes standing against a wall. Stepping over to them, he doesn't realise he's being watched.
I got a 37 out of 100.
I can see that. What's this?
The hand picks up a screwdriver, and the man spins around to find Mark standing behind him.
I thought I told you never to come here.
I need some help. Could I get a few bucks on next month's rent? Huh? Hey, what the fuck is this?
Don't touch that. It's a piece of art. Rodney, it's a very delicate piece of art.
Oh, there you go. Hey, somebody. You have got to meet Lorraine.
This stuff
isn't
hard for you.
Lorraine? Who is Lorraine?
My girlfriend. What's your more art?
That's my girlfriend. And yeah, it's a piece of art. These are all pieces of art. That's why I didn't want you dropping by unexpectedly, because I'm working on some very important pieces.
Who you are, what you do, but let me tell you, you better forget it.
Yeah. I'll see you later.
Mark pays Rodney and lets him leave.
Well, I need this. Yeah, right. You know what, I didn't want to discuss this, okay? You know what? Just get your coat on and let's go. We don't have anything to eat in this house.
Later, Annie and Oliver are at the grocer's as a figure walks past the window. Stepping inside, Eddie approaches them.
Hey, I know you. You're the artist, right? The box lady? A buddy of mine, Mark Cordell, bought a couple of your pieces. This your kid? Hey, how you doing?
Hey.
Nice to meet you.
What are those frozen things that you like? You mean Bubble Pops? Yeah, go get some.
Oliver eyes Eddie with suspicion before heading off down the aisle.
Tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. The park and ride in Bank Tree. So if 684, you know it?
Yes.
What did I say?
Park and ride, 684 in Bank Tree.
What time?
7 a.m.
Look, it'd be fine. We're not animals. I got a kid too, just a little older than him. Teenager. Anyway, I just want to tell you I know what you're going through, and hang in there.
Eddie walks away.
Hey. What's your name?
He leans towards her.
I can't tell you my name.
What do I call you then?
Call me Captain Crunch.
Captain. Thanks.
Annie meets Mark by a stone cabin in the pouring rain.
How are you holding up, Annie?
How have you been feeling lately?
Why don't you tell me? You listen to every word we say.
I don't enjoy invading your privacy.
You don't?
No. We can't afford the slightest error. Now, I'm going to say something to you that might be unwelcome, but I'm going to say it nonetheless. I think you're being a little harsh with your child. He may start to ask questions. He may talk to his friends.
He won't.
I just want to finish this as quickly and as painlessly as possible. But I'm going to need your help. We have to work together, Annie.
I'll do what I can, all right?
Now, do you understand what our strategy was in the courtroom yesterday? What was our strategy yesterday?
Louis Bufano didn't order the killing. He's in the mob, maybe a bad guy, but just a figurehead. He doesn't give orders.
That's right.
And if Louis Bufano isn't guilty,
then who is? Who did kill Salvador Riggio?
You did.
Mark looks at her. Annie stares back assuredly.
You think I'm the teacher, Annie?
Aren't you?
I would have you believe that. The teacher scares you, doesn't he, Annie? Well, I'm sorry for the fear. If I had any choice. But if I can keep you scared, I can save your life.
A middle-aged woman's on the witness stand.
Then he got down on the bed between my husband and me, and he put his gun on Sal, on his mouth.
And what did the man do then, Mrs. Riggio?
He said, open up, Sal. I don't want to make a mess. I don't want to scare your wife. We got to work together, Sal.
And then?
Then he killed my husband. He killed my Sal. He shot him.
And what happened next?
Then the door opened and my...
Mrs. Riggio, did someone come in?
Tommy. My grandson. He came in the room. And he saw my Sal dead.
And then what happened?
Then the man, he saw my baby. And Tommy ran away. He ran down the hall. He ran after him. Then I heard the shot. He killed my baby.
As the witness breaks down, Annie looks across the courtroom at Bufano.
No further questions.
Glancing over from the gallery, Eddie sees the anguish in Annie's face. Later, Oliver's playing a video game with a friend as Annie gets home.
Oliver?
Yeah?
Mom, you know, Juliet called again. It's only like the 10th time.
What's he doing here?
What do you mean? Jesse?
You're supposed to be doing your homework. Bye, Jesse. See you later. Who the hell's been cutting into the newspaper?
I did. You told me to.
You know what? You never do anything that I ask you to. Why the hell did you have to do this?
Because you told me to.
What did it say?
You're not supposed to know what it says. You said you weren't supposed to know what's in the paper or on TV. That's not right.
You don't tell me what's right and wrong. You got it? Now, what the hell did it say?
I don't know.
Well, did it say Bufano was guilty?
I don't know.
What did it say? I mean, was there compelling evidence, persuasive evidence? Do they want you to think he's guilty?
Mom, what? Everybody knows he's guilty. Shh. What's the matter?
What do you mean, everybody? Who the hell have you been talking to?
Nobody. You asked me not to.
No, I am not asking you. I am telling you. You talk to anybody about this trial, and I swear to God, I will beat the shit out of you. Do you understand me? Do you?
She pushes him.
The bullshit crybabies have stopped right now!
Stop! Annie puts her head in her hands.
Oh, shit. Oh, I can't do this.
Now it's daytime, and Annie's driving Oliver to the lacrosse field. As they get close, Annie can see that it's deserted.
Where is everybody?
Huh? Did I get this wrong again?
Oh, jeez. What do you mean? What time are you supposed to be here?
I was supposed to be here now. You know what? I'm going to go see if they're using the old practice field. Hold on.
I don't... Oliver! Hold on! Get back here! Oliver, I don't want you going! Stay there!
Juliet pulls up in her car.
Hey. We need to talk. You know, I have to go. I'm gonna be late. And
talk with me.
I can't.
What if I were in trouble?
What kind of trouble?
What if I were in really bad trouble?
What is it? Like, a man or work or what?
What if I couldn't tell you?
What do you mean if you couldn't tell me? I'm your best friend. You've got to tell me.
So you would tell me?
Of course.
Then do that.
Oliver looks over.
I can't tell you what to do, Annie. I don't have a kid.
Still, you love him. You love him as much as I do.
don't you? Tell me what you do, Juliet. I think you gotta go to the judge. You're gonna go to the judge. You're gonna tell him that your son got sick. Tell him that your son just got diagnosed with leukemia.
Oh, he's not gonna buy that.
Yeah, he will. If you have a note from your doctor, from me, okay?
I don't know. I don't know. It just sounds sort of crazy.
You're right. What you're doing, the way you're handling it, going along with these guys, it's much smarter.
Then why did you say that?
Because I don't take orders very well. From monsters, I don't take them at all. But that's just me. It's your kid, Annie.
Annie considers. A little later, Juliet's car's driving off into the distance as Annie and Oliver meet up on a stone bridge.
Once we're back in the car, we never talk about this, okay? Not a word, not a question. Say it. Say, I'll never talk about this in the car.
I'll never talk about this in the car.
Or in the house.
Or in the house.
Knew it. Oh, God.
You're just too smart.
They embrace.
I'm glad you figured it out. And I'm glad you went to Juliet. Are you scared?
Yeah.
Just a little. But we're gonna turn this thing around, okay?
Yeah.
Now, Annie looks all around her as she climbs the courthouse steps. Walking along a corridor, she finds the door she's looking for and walks in, passing a woman typing at a desk.
Excuse me, may I help you?
I just need to see the judge.
The judge is drying his hands with a towel.
What are you doing here?
I need to see you. You know who I am.
Yes, you're a juror. Open that door, please.
I want to talk to you alone.
Let me just explain something to you. When you come into my chambers, this is not a trivial thing. When a juror visits a judge, this can have serious consequences. Now, if you still have a problem and you want to talk about it, then I'll call the defense attorney and the DA and we'll
sit down. No, I want to talk to you alone. I don't want them. I only want to talk to you.
Alone?
Alone.
Well, you can't talk to me alone, and whatever that is, I don't want to see it, not without the attorneys present.
She was about to hand him a letter.
Are you telling me that I'm making a mistake?
Madam, what I remember about you is that I gave you every opportunity to get out of serving on this jury, but you insisted you wanted jury duty. Do you recall? Well, you want to serve, you don't want to serve. You have a problem, but you don't think the defendant has a right to hear it. Well, I think you're wrong. He happens to be on trial for murder. He has every right to hear it. Now, shall I try to locate his counsel?
No. I've changed my mind.
The judge looks dismayed. Later, Eddie's waiting in his car when he looks up and sees Annie's 4x4 approaching. As she turns into her driveway, Eddie rolls his car across her path and gestures for her to follow him. A little later, both vehicles turn off the road and pull up outside a diner where Mark's waiting with Rodney.
You and your fucking seventh next. Think you'll be talking to your fucking Earl Pearl by John Stark.
Hey, man, Earl the Pearl would have blown fucking John Stark right out of the garden, my friend.
John Stark. But take Earl the Pearl.
Annie. I'd like you to meet Rodney. Rodney, this is my friend Annie.
Oh, your girl is a fucking nut out.
Rodney here is about a half a gallon of sewage that just backed up from New York City, huh?
Hey, don't give me that shit.
I've offered to drive Rodney home because I think he's had a little bit too much to drink. Eh? Annie?
Would you like to ride with us?
Oh, look, shove it up your ass. Ride my own car.
Wait, hey, man.
Get in the car. Come on. I want you to get in the back seat because I want Annie to ride up front with me.
Rodney is not making a great success of his sojourn here on Earth. He's a drunk. He's an imbecile.
You button up that bunghole, buddy.
But his friends take good care of him, even after all those DUIs. He's still on the road.
Hey, you say you had some scotch, huh? Well, break it out, ship the brain.
Well, Annie, would you reach into my bag and take out the bottle that's in there?
A baby's bottle filled with whiskey.
This?
Yeah, that's it. I don't want you to spill any, Rodney.
What do you think? I'm going to stick this in my face?
Just suck on it. If you think it's going to affect my high regard for you, Rodney, well, it won't.
You asshole.
Lie down, Rodney. I put something in there to make you sleepy. So go to sleep. Go to sleep.
What are you doing?
I'm doing Rodney. I want to see what life is like through Rodney's eyes. Just like I thought, it is one big
blur. Crashing through dustbins, Mark weaves across the road wearing Rodney's glasses.
Look at Rodney now, Annie. Look at him. He's just like the rest of us, spending all of his time trying to stay out of the way of fear. Anything to not feel fear. Anything.
Don't you ever feel fear?
I feel it all the time, Annie. I had a bout with it today. But you know, Annie, I bow to fear. It's terror that teaches me my shape, Annie. You understand what I'm saying?
Two boys are running along, carrying lacrosse sticks.
Lacrosse? They say it's the most dangerous sport in the country, but I guess if it weren't very dangerous, then young boys wouldn't want to play it, would they? Oliver plays lacrosse, doesn't he?
What are we doing here?
I want to teach you what you love, Annie. The gray suits want you to love the law, justice. But what good are the gray suits? Are they going to shield you? Are the gray suits going to shield you? Hey? Can the gray suits shield you from somebody like me? I mean, look at me. I'm Rodney. I'm old and I'm tired. But when I'm behind the wheel of this car, I'm a young buck again. I might take this curve here a little too fast.
He hits the accelerator.
Please stop! Look, I didn't tell the judge. I swear I didn't. I didn't tell him.
Oh, who's gonna protect you, Annie?
You will.
Who's gonna protect you? And I want you to stay at the case. You will protect
me. You will protect me.
Stay at the case. You will protect me. Sure, you could put the teacher in jail. You could sizzle Louis Bufano. But what are you going to do about this drunken Rodney behind the wheel of this car? I'm looking down this road, and it's just one big blur to me. I think I see a boy on a bicycle, and he looks an awful lot to me like, hey.
Oh, God, no! No! Oh, God, please, no!
Who will please protect no. you?
The teacher!
Who will protect you?
The teacher!
They speed past Oliver, barely missing him as he rides along the side of the road. Looking out the back window, Annie buries her face in her seat. Later, as she throws up beside the car, Eddie hands her a handkerchief.
Here.
The car's been parked facing the edge of a steep quarry, and Rodney's now asleep at the wheel. Putting Rodney's glasses back on him, Mark then turns on the ignition.
You can't let him drive like that.
You're absolutely right, Annie. You could hurt somebody.
He puts the car in gear and watches as it plunges into the quarry, crushing on impact at the bottom and coming to rest in shallow waters. Eddie's got hold of Annie.
Make sure she gets home safe, Eddie. Go with
it. Shrugging him off, Annie walks to the edge of the quarry and sinks to her knees as the car disappears underneath the water.
Why did he do that?
Because you scared him.
You don't ever want to do that shit again, because he will hurt you. I don't want to see you get hurt.
You said you had a kid, right, Captain?
Eddie. Her name is Eddie. Yeah, I got a daughter, 14.
Why do you let him do these things?
You got too many questions. Come on, let's get out of here.
Now, Mark's placing various lockets on a photograph of Annie, as if to decide which will suit her best.
Hey, Mark. Do you think we could go to the mall later?
No.
Get some ice cream?
No.
I wanted to tell you about my day, you know? Did you talk to Juliet today?
Juliet, no. Why don't you finish your homework?
Mark stops and listens. In the kitchen of their house, Oliver scribbles "What's wrong" on a notepad and shows it to Annie. Walking over, Annie writes, "Don't mention Juliet ever." Mark can hear the sound of pen on paper. Oliver turns to a fresh page, not realizing the listening device is right underneath the table he's at. Mark glances towards the speakers. When Oliver places the notepad beside her with three question marks on, Annie snatches up the pen and scrawls, "It won't work." As Mark turns up the volume on the speakers, Oliver scribbles, "We've got a fight." When Annie writes, "He'll kill you," Oliver replies with, "I'll take the chance." But then when Annie counters with, "He'll kill me," Oliver just looks at her. Mark rewinds the recording.
"Did you talk to Juliet today?" "Shh." "Did you talk to Juliet today?"
"Shh." "Juliet, no. Why don't you finish your homework?"
Walking over to a collection of pictures, Mark picks out a photograph of Juliet. A hospital corridor. A figure slips into a room unnoticed as Juliet approaches.
"He was cute.
You gonna examine me like that sometime?"
"Oh, you wish. You're on call on Saturday night."
She walks into the room and goes to open a locker.
"You said he could be reasoned with."
"Annie."
"But he can't."
"What happened?"
"We tried it your way, Juliet, and it didn't work out. Now you've got to promise me that you're going to stay out of our lives."
"And that's what Oliver wants to?"
"Well, Oliver thinks that we should be heroes. But he's wrong. But he's promised to keep his mouth shut, so that's all that matters. And now you've got to promise, too."
"How is he what? Going to abandon you?"
"That you're going to keep your mouth shut and stay out of our lives. It's my life, right? Is that what you said? My life, my kid. Right?"
"Yeah."
"Promise me."
"I promise you."
Annie's dropping Oliver off at the babysitter's.
"Hi, Annie."
Oliver snatches his bag from Annie and goes inside.
"Oliver."
"Puberty."
Mrs. Kaladi steps into the house and closes the door. Now, a minibus arrives at the courts and the jury members climb out. An anxious-looking Annie's amongst them. Later, they're sitting around a table as the forewoman removes pieces of paper from a box.
"Okay. Guilty. 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 Not guilty."
"What?"
"What it says. Calm down. Guilty. Guilty. Guilty.
Guilty? 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 Not guilty.
Two?
So we have 10 guilties and 2 not guilty.
Wait a minute. I mean, I'm sorry, but how can anybody think this guy's not guilty?
Really?
I mean, who voted not guilty? Can I ask?
You can ask, but nobody has to say if they don't want to.
I voted not guilty.
You did? Why?
I don't think the government proved its case.
Oh, guys,
proved? It's open and shut.
So you say.
I mean, we have the tape, right? Did you hear the tape?
So you say.
Roland, you're going to drive me nuts. Look, suppose they were all lying, all the witnesses, the cop, the mule. The Chico. We still got the goddamn tape.
Yeah.
I mean, it's on the tape that he says, what is it, about the tunnel? The
Yeah.
I says to the teacher, I says, right. You want to dig a tunnel?
Dig a tunnel.
Dig a tunnel. Kill that cocksucker.
I mean, you think he's talking about the tunnel of love?
Hold on.
Don't tell me you're the other one. Christ's sakes.
Look, that tape, I mean, does that prove anything? I mean, it wasn't a direct order.
Right.
Kill that cocksucker. That's not a direct order?
Come on, he could have just been bragging.
He was bragging. He was bragging how he sent a hitman to kill Reggio.
You know, maybe it's not fair to pick on the not guilties. You know, maybe we should have to explain our case, you know? What's our evidence? Let's start with that.
This is ridiculous.
Man, come on, sit down. It's the process.
You're going to be stuck in that motel for weeks.
Despite substantial evidence in the state's case against mob boss Louis Bufano, speculation turns toward the possibility of a hung jury as deliberations move into their third day. In other news, city sanitation officials claim...
Mark's leaning against a large stone arch support under a raised highway as a black car pulls up. A man wearing a grey suit walks over to meet him, accompanied by a bodyguard holding an umbrella over his head.
I want to know why you're not leaning on the union guy.
It's making me nervous.
Because he's not powerful enough, that's why.
Oh, is that right? So this artist broad, she's the one with the power now, huh?
We hope so, yeah.
Well, you know what I think? I want to go with the union guy. And when my father's away, I'm the boss of this family, so I think you better listen to what I'm telling you, okay? Let's go.
Hey, whoa. Joseph. What the fuck are you talking about?
Oh! Go back to the car. Let me ask you something. Do you take money from my family?
I take a great deal of money from your family, but that doesn't make you in charge. I mean, Joseph, your father knows what's going on.
I don't like you, okay? I don't like what you're doing to my family. I don't like the shit you're getting us into with these Cali assholes, these fucking guys from Calabria. You act like you're some fancy, sweet-smelling piece of shit. You're from the same neighborhood that I'm from, that my father's from. You know what I think? I think you're just a sick fuck. I know you're a friendless fuck. You always was, even when you was a little kid. Even Eddie, he thought you were smart, he brought you into the family, but even him, he don't like you. Nobody likes you.
Mark looks pained.
I got work to do.
Hey, listen to me. Go with that union guy.
Mark walks away without saying a word. Later, Annie's awoken by her motel room phone. Waiting on the balcony, Mark spies 2 police cars in the car park below. Annie emerges from her room.
Annie, come here. I want you to take this and stand over there and pretend to be smoking.
He slides her a cigarette through a mesh fence.
It's risky to talk, but I wanted you to know, Annie, that you're never out of my thoughts. Will we win?
No.
Why not?
He's guilty. The others, they know him.
Annie, if the jury hangs, if there's a mistrial, then the people I work for, they will hurt you just to punish me.
Hold on a second. That's not part of the deal. I thought if I kept voting not guilty...
No, no, we have to have an acquittal. Do you understand? We have to win this thing.
You're out of your mind.
Annie, that's why I chose you. I chose you over all of the other jurors because I know who you are when you wake up.
Look, I can't turn black into white.
Louis Bafano could not possibly have done this. You have to teach them that. He doesn't have brains. He doesn't have the courage. He's a clown. He's disposable. But you, on the other hand, can do what I'm asking you to do because you have the spine. You and I have in common. We're artists. We're intelligent. We have passion. But Louis Bafano believes it just isn't possible.
What do you want me to do? Threaten them?
The jury is afraid. Their instinct is to acquit. They're just waiting for somebody like you to march in there and give them the excuse to do it.
I can't.
You will. I got you something.
A locket containing a bug.
And I want you to wear it. Please take it.
She takes the locket and necklace.
Don't worry. I'll be with you every step of the way.
In the jury room, Annie's wearing the necklace.
You're being completely unreasonable. Two people testified against the teacher. They talk about him on the tape. How can you admit he didn't even exist?
I don't know who he is.
It doesn't matter who he is. The only thing that matters is you know how powerful he is. Can't you see that? I mean, didn't that get through to you?
Annie.
What?
There's no need to raise your voice here.
What, are you crazy kayaking?
Well, actually, what I love the most is ocean kayaking. You know, like down south, at night. You know, there's this phosphor in the water.
What would you like?
Fruit punch. Okay. And it's like... Thanks. It's like... lit, you know? It's beautiful. It's
really?
Amazing. It's an amazing thing to see.
Pretty wild. Like, quite a free spirit.
Well, you know... You know, I was thinking that maybe, if you'd like, after this is over, we could go kayaking together on the Hudson sometime.
I'd really like that. That could be really great. Sometime.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Well, think about how they sounded when they said his name, the teacher. Almost whispering. And that guy to Chico, when he said the teacher... He was looking around that courtroom, and he was scared to death.
Oh, bullshit. Hey.
No, it's all right. Go ahead, Barry. What?
God damn it. Bafano is the boss. They work for him.
Thank you.
I don't know. I think maybe Annie's got a point here. Again?
Okay, wait. Okay? They've got all of these deals. Cali, the Calabrians, the government of... What is that? The government of what? The Curacao. Okay, so they've got that. They've got Jamaican runners. So there's this whole huge web with one spider sitting in the middle of it. One guy scheming this whole thing. And you think that's Louis Bafano?
All right, so the teacher advises him. Big deal.
The teacher doesn't advise Bafano. Uh-uh. He told him, I'm going to dig a tunnel to Riggio's house and I'm going to kill him.
But Bafano gave his okay. He said, kill that cocksucker.
Okay, so suppose I said I'm going to kill this guy right here. And you said, you know what, great. You know what, do that. Kill that cocksucker. Now, does that make you a murderer?
I don't believe this. You really want us to let this greaseball go free?
You know, I really don't care for the term greaseball.
All right, I'm sorry. But, I mean, how much goddamn evidence do you people want?
Well, it's just
evidence,
sort of real.
You know, that's there. You want to ignore what's not
just get on with it, you know?
Jesus, I don't get it.
It isn't what we want.
There's evidence to get us beyond a reasonable doubt.
Reasonable. Right. That's what I'm talking about.
Listen.
What the hell is reasonable?
Just use common sense.
Does that mean every infinitesimal little teeny bit of goddamn anything is possible? Can I finish, please?
Why should we let you go on, Nanya? You're not saying anything.
But no, wait. So what are you thinking?
What I'm thinking is that these people are scum, and I... You know what? I don't care anymore. One way or the other. I'm tired. Reasonable doubt, you got it.
Hold on a minute. Maybe I don't understand the evidence, but I know a kid got killed, that's it. I mean, a little boy. And if we set this guy free, I know what he's going to do. He's going to go right back to selling drugs, hurting more people. Annie, I don't need evidence for that. I know it.
Laura, the evidence says that the teacher ordered the killing, not Bufano, the teacher.
Do you have a child?
What does that have to do with it?
It has everything to do with it. I have a boy, Laura. And I am terrified that something could happen to him someday. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking that we've got to protect the children. There's all of this chaos, and it just keeps getting worse and worse, and there is nowhere to go to get away from it. But the law says that if they don't prove that Bufano committed the crimes he's charged with, proved beyond a reasonable doubt, then we have to set him free. We have to, even though we hate it. And you just pray that you get him next time. But if you twist the law even just a little for the best of reasons, then the law loses whatever power it's got. And then my child is in even more danger than before. And so are your grandchildren.
Tears glaze Annie's eyes. In his surveillance warehouse, Mark kisses Annie's photograph, a proud smile touching his lips.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, do you find the defendant guilty or not guilty?
On both counts, we find the defendant not guilty.
Annie sits in the jury dock wearing a sunken expression. As Louis shares a hug of congratulations with someone, he catches her eye and looks at her pointedly. Tallow, the prosecuting attorney, spots the look between them, and suddenly realization dawns on her face. Louis raises his fists in the air in triumph. A dark-haired woman sings on stage, while behind her, a banner reads, "Welcome home, Louis." The hall is packed with people, and they cheer as Louis comes in. A statue of Lady Justice, holding a pair of scales. Louis unbalances them with his finger.
Hey, you kept the scales on our side, eh?
This is to the trial being over. A dear friend being home. Finally, drink up. Hmm.
Juliet cuts some chocolate cake.
I got a new boyfriend. Okay, I know what you're thinking, but he's a very cool guy. Takes pictures, travels around the world. God, I'm having just so much fun right now, I can't stand it. Are you guys fabulous? Your wonderful personalities are coming right out. I don't feel like celebrating. Can I be excused?
At the party, Louis and some suited men go through into the kitchen where Eddie's waiting.
Congratulations.
They move through to some stacked crates at the back of the kitchen, where Mark is also waiting.
I wasn't concerned, you know. Not for a minute.
Mark smiles.
I swear, if I'm lying, may God strike me dead on this spot.
Come here.
Congratulations, Louis.
Wonderful, Vincent.
Do you know that juror lady? I don't like the way she looked at me. She made me a little uncomfortable.
Boss, he's afraid of Louis, but I wouldn't worry about him. This is not going to be a problem.
No problem at all. No problem? What, is everything no problem to you? The last time I heard no problem from you was with Sal fucking Riggio. And then there's some kid who's there that you should have known about, but you didn't. And bada bing, my father's on trial for his fucking life. I mean, two maid guys whack each other. Who gives a fuck? But you killed a kid. Now the state's got a hard-on for my family 10 fucking yards long because you killed a kid.
Oh, wait.
He shoves Mark's shoulder.
Oh, hey. My son, my son. What are you going to do? He worries about me. He thinks you're a psycho.
Whatever he says out of love for his father, so.
Go ahead.
Give me the money.
Someone hands Joseph a suitcase, which he then hands to Mark. As Louis leaves, he turns back to Mark.
Are you sure we're not going to have any problem with this woman?
Don't worry about Louis. No problem. I got my eye on her.
Annie's in her workshop, drilling a hole into the wooden frame of her latest work. She lowers a box onto the frame, concealing it. She looks disturbed when she sees a bouquet of flowers resting on top of the box, together with a note. She stumbles backwards fearfully. Positioned next to the flowers, the handwritten card reads, "I will always be beside you." Now, Annie's sitting, working in her office, when Tallow comes over.
Miss Lair, get up quietly. Speak to no one. Come with me.
They're in a church.
Your bank account shot up to $12,000 last month.
I sold some artwork. Good for you. But you know what? We don't really care how you got it. Because we don't think you did this for the money. We think these guys scared you. They're still scaring you. Now it's time to stop being scared. Let us get you out of this mess.
How would you do that?
You help us. You testify for us, we're going to put you somewhere safe. You and your boy.
And then what?
Whatever you want. The mob aren't what they used to be, Miss Laird. They don't often kill civilians.
Now, Franco, not yet.
Yeah, hold it.
Well, then I'd like to make this quick, because I want to get home before my kid gets out of school.
Send a car over and have the kid picked up.
No, you just stay away from my house. You put me in danger when you come around my house. Don't you bastards understand that?
In danger, Miss Laird? From what?
From the man in the moon.
Suppose there were an unfortunate leak to the... press to the effect that you were cooperating. Jura brings tampering charges against Buffon. That'll make a great story, wouldn't it?
You know, you do this... and they'll kill my child.
No, they won't. You help us, they won't. They always threaten, always. But they don't do squat. Who else is going to protect you?
Tallow stares at her intently, and Annie's resolve seems to weaken.
Look, I'm not saying no, but I'm going to need some time to think about this.
How much time?
Just a day or two. But you keep your people away from us. You want to watch me, okay, but don't you let anybody know you're watching. Do you hear me?
I'll give you 48 hours. When you're ready to talk, find a secure line, dial this number. You can trust anybody in this room.
Juliet striding across an underground car park. Behind her, a car pulls slowly out from its parking space. It drives up alongside her and slows to a halt. It's Mark.
I had a shitty day.
She gets into the car and kisses him passionately.
Let's see what we can do about that.
An energetic nightclub, bathed in vibrant blue light. A man in a thong dances on a stage while a woman gyrates in an elevated cage. Juliet leads Mark through the throng of revelers. She takes him into a corner and starts kissing him passionately.
Give me another one.
That's a bad idea.
I'm a doctor, I know what I'm doing.
He puts a pill on her tongue, then gives her a glass of water. Water dribbles down her chin. They kiss hungrily. Now, they're in bed. Mark's lying on top of Juliet, her legs wrapped around his waist. Their faces and bodies are sheathed in sweat. Mark leans over the side of the bed and takes a drink from a glass. Juliet slides onto his back.
I want you to do something for me.
What else? What else could I possibly do for you?
She lies on the bed next to him.
I want you to take these
packets of pills.
What are they?
Cecobarbital and amobarbital and stuff like that. No, I don't want you to take them for me. I want you to do it for Oliver.
She looks at him with a shocked expression, then sits up.
Who are you?
Well, haven't you figured that out yet? I'm Annie's friend.
He pins her to the bed and points a gun at her head.
You had all the answers when you told Annie to go see that judge, didn't you? When you put Oliver at risk, this boy that you care so much about, then you had ice in your veins. Then you wanted to be the big heroine. Now I'm gonna give you a chance to be a real heroine. Because after what you've done, this is Oliver's only chance. I care about him just as much as you do, but I will kill him. I told Annie what would happen if she betrayed us. Oh. And I am a man of my word. The way of power is the unvarying way.
He sits her up and yanks her head back.
Now the police are with Annie. And we have to give her a little taste of grief. Save Oliver. Just a little inoculation. Make sure she stays afraid.
He puts the pill to her lips.
Take it.
Fuck.
Bringing the gun to her head again.
Take it.
He puts the pill in her mouth, then forces her to drink water. He gives her another one.
No one at the hospital can believe it. Why would she kill herself?
Annie drops the telephone and trudges into her workshop. She picks up a crowbar and smashes some jars on her work table. Then she lays into her sculptures. Grief-stricken, she crumples in a heap onto the floor. It's night time. A car screeches round a corner, then comes to a halt alongside another car. Mark's in one, Eddie's in the other.
She's gone. I don't know if the feds got her in a safe house or something, but she cleared out all her bank accounts, she took that money you gave her, and she's gone.
Well, hey, it's all right. I mean, she's never gonna betray us.
What, are you kidding me? She hates our fucking guts.
All she needs is some time to be alone.
I am so sick of that bullshit with you. How the fuck do you know that?
Because a friend of hers died last night.
Who died?
The doctor.
A small smile plays on Mark's lips.
Annie is in great danger, and her child is in great danger, and I will do everything that I can to protect them. Now, what part of that don't you understand? I mean, I could explain it to you.
That's all right. I need your explanations.
Now, Mark's looking at photographs of a small girl.
Hello?
Ms. Emma Faldo?
Yes,
this is John Slivey in New York. Your cousin Annie Laird was working for me up until about a week ago, and she listed you as an emergency contact, and I have a paycheck for her and no way to reach her. Do you happen to know where I can...
Oh, I'm sorry, I don't have
to... No, huh?
No, I'm sorry.
Oh, I see. Well, that's too bad. Anybody else in the family might know how to reach her? Really, it's easy to lose touch.
A luscious rainforest. A bus trundles along a narrow road that cuts through the rainforest. Oliver's on the bus.
Lassie.
Annie's in a seat opposite. They both accept a food gift from a young girl. Mark's tapping urgently on a laptop. He stares intently at the screen as he brings up lists of data. He searches for the names Annie Laird and Oliver Laird. Their names come up. He smiles and types on the keyboard. A flight number and destination appear on the screen. Guatemala City. Meanwhile, the bus makes its way along a road cut into the side of a mountain. In a village, wooden structures are being set up for a festival. A seating terrace is being built. Nearby, the bus has parked, and Annie and Oliver get out. Boone is chatting with some locals.
No beba.
Two children lead him over to Annie and Oliver. He looks stunned to see her and gives her a hug.
What a surprise.
Oliver,
look at you. Hey.
Mark's looking through a magnifying glass at a photograph of a smiling Boone in South America. He looks at a woman in the photograph, then a label next to the picture. Costumes of Tay Kutch. He runs his finger over a map of South America until he finds Tay Kutch. Annie and Boone smile as they watch Oliver playing football by some Mayan ruins.
You guys are going to love it here. You know, tomorrow I'm going to take you to this beautiful Mayan altar.
I wish I had more time.
More time? Annie, when you live here, it's all you have is time.
I have to go back, and I need you to take care of Oliver.
What? Wait a minute.
Look, you have to do it. There's no one else.
There's no way you're going back. You're not leaving. I'm not letting you go back.
It's not your choice. Your choice is you can take care of Oliver or you can send him home with me to be killed. And I'm asking you to take care of Oliver.
Boone sits down on a rock, shaking his head. Annie crouches down beside him.
I know what I'm asking. I know it's too much. But there's no one. There's nobody else I've come to go to. Please, you're my oldest friend.
Why do you want to go back?
I have to.
Hello?
Yeah, she came back.
She what?
She came back, just like you said she would. Yeah, she wants to meet you tomorrow, 1 o'clock. Hey.
Yeah, I'm here.
Why the fuck would she come back? Huh?
Well, she had to come back. She got her child to safety. She took him to this little village in Guatemala, someplace that I could never find them, and she had to come back. And everything that we've been through is like a marriage, Annie and I. She couldn't let it go. She couldn't.
Yeah.
Tallow to Annie.
No, it's too dangerous.
But it's the only way.
If he finds out you're wired, you're dead.
He won't.
If he pats you down.
He won't. He thinks that I'm timid. He would never touch me unless I wanted him to. He likes to be thought of as a gentleman.
Miss Laird, I don't want to lose control here. I don't want to put you in an unsafe situation.
Oh, and you think that I'm safe here with you? Listen. Please just give me the wire. Please. I will get you such juicy stuff on Bufano that you could lock him up for the rest of his fucking life. You could put them all away.
A car drives along a tree-lined road. The car pulls into a turnoff where Mark's leaning against his vehicle. He looks round as the car comes to a halt. Eddie's in the driver's seat and Annie gets out from the passenger side. As the three of them approach each other, Annie raises a finger to her lips and unbuttons her blouse, revealing the listening device taped to her bra. She takes out a note and gives it to Eddie. Annie pulls out the wire while Eddie reads the note. It says, "Eddie, don't say a word. Drive around, give us half an hour." She hands Eddie the listening device. Then Mark and Annie walk on through the woods.
What do you think of them?
My guardians. They're clueless, incompetent. They irritate me. You know what irritates me most is their weakness.
Well, I think that you should forgive them. Their hearts are fine and they do love you, Annie.
Don't tell me that. Don't you talk to me about love and forgiveness. Oh, you bastard. Oh, I hate you, you know, and I would kill you if I could. Or is this the lesson for today, teacher? Or is it how terror is doing me so much good? How strong it's going to make me? Or is it how your love is going to save my child?
Annie.
Shut up. Don't you smile at me. Don't you ever fucking think you can smile at me. Don't you even look at me. You want to know what I hate most? I hate that you are right. I am stronger.
Is that all that you feel?
He touches her face.
Stop. Just stop.
She walks away. Eddie's parked the car outside a store where some people are playing loud music. He hangs the listening device out of the window. The agents, camped out near the woods, listen on their headphones.
You hear that?
I went back to my studio again. Looked at all my old work. And it all seemed just so restrained, smothered. No fire, no guts. Just the way my life has always been. Smother the passion of anything that you're frightened of. Lock it out. I don't want to live like that anymore. I don't want any more weakness. And this is what I don't understand. You have all of this strength, and you work for Louis Bufano. That
goon.
Well, he's your friend.
Louis Bufano doesn't have any friends.
He's a monster, and like most monsters, he commands some respect, but not for long. My colleagues from Cali are growing very tired of him.
Are you going to get rid of him?
Well, eventually we'll discard old Louis, but for the time being, we might keep him as a figurehead. Take the heat off of me, let him be a mountain. I'll be a ravine. God, I'd like to have a place like this someday. With a farmhouse, wood floors, a child playing in the yard. A child like Oliver. And after that, I want nothing but love. Do you think I could turn myself into sheer love, Annie? Do you think I have that power? I'm sorry that you hate me. Because I do love you.
He kisses her tenderly. She responds, but then pulls away. Now, in Tallow's office, Annie pulls off the wire taped to her chest.
What the hell were you doing? The door opens, the door shuts, then nothing.
Look, Eddie was driving around. The teacher just never showed up. Look, maybe he guessed something was going on.
How would he guess that?
I don't know. You figure it out. Me, I'm going home.
We're not done yet, Miss Laird.
Oh, yes, we are. If you want anything else out of me tonight, you're going to have to arrest me.
Annie.
Annie stops in the doorway.
Don't call me Annie.
Miss Laird!
Now, a group of seated men, including Eddie, are congregated in a cemetery outside the Bufano crypt. Annie peers out from behind an angel sculpture.
What the hell is this?
Stop!
It's okay. It's okay. I know her.
Hey, what are you, deaf? I said stop. I said stop.
Stay there. It's okay. I know her. It's okay.
You know her?
Yeah.
Mr. Bufano, I need to talk to you.
What can I do for you?
Do you recognize me?
Yeah, sure. You're the juror lady. What do you want?
I have something to show you.
You got something for me? What?
A gift. I give you a gift, and you leave me, my friends, and my family alone.
Of course. I would never hurt your family, nor you, nor nobody. Lady, I don't even
swear
know
it,
you.
Louis, and I'll give you your gift.
Hey, I'm not interested in your fucking gift.
Oh, yes, you are.
Hey, easy.
She's got something you gotta hear.
Louis looks pointedly at Annie.
Come here. Go ahead.
Annie goes aside with Louis and takes out a tape recorder. She plays it.
Louis Bufano doesn't have any friends. He's a monster, and like most monsters, he commands some respect, but not for long. My colleagues from Cali are growing very tired of him.
You enjoyed that, Mr. Bufano? Would you like to hear more?
When did you tape this?
Yesterday.
And who wired you?
I wired myself.
Let me have it.
Not until you...
Yeah, I swear. I'm out of your life forever. Let me have it.
Don't waste any time.
Mark loads his handgun and sticks it into the back of his jeans as his garage door opens. Eddie's standing on the other side.
Yes?
Hey, Ed, what are you doing here?
We want some meat.
When?
Today. 6 o'clock. Palisades.
Oh, meetings are so risky, you know? I mean, can't you just tell him to relax?
Oh, yeah, sure, I'll tell him. No, he says it's important.
Oh, why all this urgency?
It's about Annie. He says he can't trust her. Wants her taken out.
What do you think, Ed? Do you think she needs to be taken out?
It's when does anybody give a shit what I think, right?
Well, I mean, you just seem to have developed a certain amount of fondness for her lately, you know?
Yeah, well, that's history. This is business, right?
Yeah.
Fine. Do what you gotta do. 6 o'clock, right?
Yeah.
In Guatemala, Boone and Oliver are walking along with a colorful parade.
So every other day of the year, they call him San Simón, and they treat him with great respect. But tomorrow, they call him by his real name.
Judas.
They take him to that tree over there, and they hang him. Oliver? What's wrong?
When's she coming back?
Dr. Boone! Doctor!
It's just 1 second. Oliver. She left you here because she loves you. Okay?
Yeah.
Here. Go have some fun, all right? I gotta go deal with this. I'll catch up with you, all right?
Meanwhile, Mark drives his car over to a riverside near a bridge where Louis parked with his men. Mark gets out of his car holding a suitcase. Louis on the phone.
I don't think we have to worry about that.
Yeah. What's in the case?
Open it up. I'll just have to get back to you.
The case is full of money.
Vincent, I'm glad you came. What's this?
I want you to take your money back. Things got a little more complicated than we hoped, so money's yours.
Let's walk. We need to talk, hmm? More than 10 years we've been working together. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
You know what? I don't know the first thing about what makes you tick. Isn't that funny? I mean, in all those 10 years, I don't know nothing about you. Until... this woman, I mean, this Jura woman. This morning, to my mother's grave, she comes. And she says to me...
Annie came to see you?
She said you've been saying ugly things about me. Said you called me a motherfucking monster. Oh, please, don't even try to deny it. It's on tape. That woman... you know, the one you've got soft over, you think is the love of your life? She wants you dead. You said you were going to discard me. Now look who gets discarded. Get it done.
Two of Louis's henchmen take Mark off to the side. Joseph follows them, screwing a silencer onto a gun. Joseph stands in front of Mark by a freshly dug hole.
And everybody thought you were a genius.
Hey, Joseph, take a look at your father.
As Louis closes the door of his limousine, Mark takes out an electronic device and presses a button. The limo explodes. Mark grabs Joseph's gun and shoots the two henchmen. One of them gets off a shot, which rips into Joseph's chest. Joseph drops to his knees. Mark looks back at the burning limo. Mark ambles over to Joseph, places a foot against his chest, and kicks him back into the hole, which is half filled with muddy water. Mark jumps into the ditch and points the gun at Joseph's head.
You fucking crazy?
Bada bing.
Having calmly wasted Joseph, Mark climbs out of the ditch and strides towards the burning wreck. Annie answers the phone.
Hello? Eddie?
No, it is not Eddie. He's right here. Would you like to speak with him?
Annie, I suppose I should be angry with you for betraying me, but I'm not.
I know that this has been hard for you. I did things to protect you and Oliver.
That must have been difficult for you to grasp. What you would say, what you would do to protect your child. I mean, you bring Oliver down to Guatemala, and then what? You're going to come back here, and you're going to destroy me? Well, that is not going to happen. Do you remember what I told you at the studio that night? I told you if you would trust me, then Oliver would be safe, but if you betrayed me, then no matter what the personal cost to me, Oliver would suffer. Do you remember that? And I begged you to believe me, but how can I ask you to trust me when mistrust and betrayal are rooted in your character? I could just as easily ask you to change the pattern of the stars. But now Oliver is going to die in the morning. We both know that. And there's nothing we can do to stop that. We can only witness.
Mark walks out of the room, leaving Eddie lying dead on the sofa, his throat cut. An American passport.
Enjoy your flight, Mr. Woodham. You can board now.
Annie runs frantically through the airport, her ticket in hand.
I'm sorry, you've just missed this flight.
Ma'am? Look, I have to... My son is dying! I've got to get...
No, ma'am, I'm sorry. Well, we can put you on another flight.
If you hurry, there's another flight to Guatemala via Houston.
Where? Gate?
126.
In Guatemala, Mark goes up to a car hire desk.
¿En serio no tiene carros?
¿En serio, señor, no hay carros?
Outside the airport, the parking area is crowded with people and cars. A man standing by his car notices Mark and smiles. Mark goes over to him.
¿Habla inglés?
Yes, I do.
What's your name, man?
Daniel.
You think I could hire you to give me a ride somewhere?
No, I'll give you a ride. You don't have to pay.
It'll be a long journey.
Mark's driving the car along a mountain road that cuts through a lush rainforest. He uses a shirt to wipe blood from the dashboard. Annie threads her way through Guatemala Airport and over to the car hire desk.
No, no, bueno.
Annie notices some officials sitting at a table drinking.
Va a costar mucho dinero. Es muy lejos. Mire, te coach.
Look, I don't care. Here's everything I've got, okay? Just get me there.
Bueno.
Mark spots a sign for Tecuch. 273 kilometers. A biplane soars through the sky. The villagers of Tecuch are dancing, dressed in brightly coloured costumes and animal masks. Oliver's amongst them, dressed up and smiling as he dances. Mark gets out of the 4x4 and strides over to a villager. The villager gestures to the crowd, and Mark makes his way over towards them. He scans the dancers. Oliver takes off his mask. And Mark heads towards him. Oliver puts his lion mask back on, then heads through an archway with the other kids. Mark follows them into the neighbouring street, where a man lets off a firework. Mark struggles to keep track of Oliver in the growing crowd. Oliver takes off his mask and this time spots Mark coming after him. They lock eyes across the crowd. Then Oliver dashes away. Mark goes after him, his path momentarily thwarted by a towering mannequin of an old man dressed in black. He sidesteps the figure and ploughs on through the crowds. People in costume dance in front of Mark, blocking his way. He spots Oliver running off into the jungle. Mark runs after him. Wearing the animal mask again, Oliver races through the forest. He comes into a clearing and runs into some Mayan ruins. Mark follows him inside. Mark scans the stone walls and pillars, but Oliver's nowhere to be seen. He ventures further inside. He spots someone running up some stone steps and goes after him. Mark slows his pace as he reaches the top and notices the mask discarded on the dusty floor. He spots a shadow cast on the wall from someone hiding round a corner.
Oliver. Oliver.
A villager comes round the corner, aiming a rifle at Mark. Then another villager, wearing an animal mask and pointing his gun. Then another villager, also armed.
What is this, a fucking zoo?
Mark draws his gun, but the villagers fire, bullets tearing through Mark's chest. He recoils backwards and falls down the hard stone steps. Someone picks up Mark's gun. It's Annie. She goes down the steps, the villagers appearing behind her and keeping their guns trained on Mark. Mark struggles up into a sitting position. Annie keeps the gun trained on him.
Annie, you really are astonishing. I mean, you won over the jury. And then you set me up with Bafana.
And now you've chartered a plane?
Yep, with your money.
He drags himself onto his knees.
But you're right, Annie. You have to kill me. I see that now. It has to be that way. Because if you shoot me, then you and I will be bonded forever.
He reaches for an ankle gun.
No, you won't.
He draws the gun. And she empties her gun into his chest. Mark flops face down onto the dusty ground. The villagers bow their heads. Annie throws away the gun and staggers back.
Oliver! Oliver!
Mom?
They hug each other.
I love you.
Boone puts her hand on Oliver's back as mother and son clutch each other tightly. Outside, as part of the festival, the cloaked mannequin is hanging from a wire and is set alight. Villagers celebrate by dancing happily in the streets. Fireworks fizz around them.